Teaching Bible Radio. Proclaim the word of Jesus, just to let the people know. This is Teaching Bible Radio. Making plain the word of Jesus, just to let the people know. This is Teaching Bible Radio.
Come to you at this time. And so today we're going to be continuing in a series of messages that we started to talk about some time back. In fact, last Lord's Day and also on the Wednesday Bible study. And so we're going to continue that series here today. Amen. And we have another installment. And we're going to talk about that in just a minute. But before I do that, I would like to first take a minute and give out a special word of just blessing for my wife, Hope. She is the heartbeat of my life. She is the heartbeat of our ministry. And I thank God for her. Her birthday is coming up. And so I want to take time at the beginning here of this service to acknowledge her. Amen. The scripture says, when a man findeth a wife, he findeth a good thing in favor from the Lord. And I'm sure that's true, because God has really blessed me for the past 12 years. And so I want to let you know so that you can pray for my wife and welcome her, wish her a happy birthday. Her birthday will be tomorrow. But I just wanted to mention it today, because this is my closest opportunity, and it is something that I want you to share in helping me to celebrate. Amen. And I do thank God for her. If you only knew, I couldn't tell you. I'd probably take days to tell you what an integral part of this ministry she is. She really has been a great blessing, seeing us through on so many things, and she has so many wonderful gifts God has given her. And so I want to invite you to wish my wife Hope a happy birthday. See, God had even give her that wonderful name, Hope. Amen. Her mother was thinking about what kind of person she would be. And I'm so glad that she is my hope. Amen. Praise the Lord. So we're going to go right ahead. I'm glad you have chosen to be with us today. And I want to take just a minute now, as you know we do all the time, and open with a word of prayer. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God, in the name of Jesus, we lift up your name today, Father God. We bless you. We give you praise. We honor you, O God. We exalt you, because your name is excellent in all the heavens and in all the earth. And Father, we know that without you, we can't do anything. And so, Lord God, we give you praise. We exalt your name, Father. We thank you for Jesus. We know that Jesus is your Son, the only Savior that you have ever sent in the history of time, but the only one we have a need for eternity. And so, Lord God, we exalt the name of Jesus today, Father. We thank you for your Son. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your grace, oh God. You are just so good, Lord God. And we just don't even know how to say thank you. We can't even find words in our vocabulary to express the thanks that we feel in our heart for what you have done for us. So, Father, today we confess our sins. We ask you to cleanse us, O God, wash us, forgive us, sanctify us, a little further than you did yesterday. And heal us, O God, from all unrighteousness. And Father, we thank you that the blood of Jesus is well able to do that for whosoever believes in him. And so, Father, today we thank you. I'm going to ask your blessings for Hope today, Lord God. Bless her. Bless her spiritually, physically, financially, emotionally. And I want to thank you for her right now, Lord God, because without her, I don't know where I would be. And so I thank you for that gift, Lord God. And so, Father, in the name of Jesus, I bless you today. I ask you to bless your word today, Father. Speak to our souls and our hearts, Lord God, because we need you right now, Lord. This is an unusual time in history, Lord God. We know you know everything that's going on. And so, Father, we lift up our own country right now, God. We lift up this whole world. Father, we see it as an arena for evangelism, Lord God. So help us today to spread the good news about your Son and what it means to accept him as Lord and Savior to many, many, many people today, Lord God. And make our hearts receptive to hear what the Spirit said to the churches. We give you the honor, the praise, and the glory. Bless the word as it goes forth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for letting us have another day's journey. So we are blessed, as I mentioned, and many of you have already known that we are in the midst of a series of messages for the Christmas season. And so we want to continue in that vein here today. We started off looking at some things in the last lesson. We talked about some things, and I want to continue that here today. We have a new topic for today, and we want to continue our Christmas series. Lesson one was creation of man in the image of God. You'll find that on our website at teachingbible.org. And if you didn't catch that one, so for those of you who are just tuning in today, you can catch it on teachingbible.org. That is our website. And that lesson was creation of man in the image of God. Just briefly, we talked about what it means that God made man in his own image. And our proof text on that was Genesis 1:26. And it said, "For in the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them." And so he breathed into the nostrils of Adam that he made from the dust of the ground, and man became a living soul who was made in the image of God. And we talked about that just a little bit on last week and also on Wednesday Bible study on last Lord's Day. So today we're going to do installment number two. And this one is actually the manifestation of God in the image of man. Now, all of these we're putting in this special series to help you appreciate the season of Christmas, which is really about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and his coming to the world to be the only Savior that God has provided. And we want to give you sound, solid, biblical reason why you should trust Jesus Christ and believe that God has raised him from the dead. And the benefit of that is so that you shall be saved. Now, being saved means being set right with God, being made where God will accept you. Regardless of your flaws, God has made the one way, and that is by the giving of his Son, Jesus the Christ, to make whosoever, that means anyone. Now, I'm going to talk about that whosoever a little bit today, too, because I think that's one of the great flaws that we see in many parts of the church today, and we need to discuss that in a little bit more detail. But the fact is, the manifestation of God in the image of man is what we experience when Jesus is born into the world. When he came into the world, he always existed. The Bible tells us in eternity past. In fact, let's just grab a text. John 1:1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. And without him, and all things were made by him." It goes on to say, "Without him, there was not made anything that was made. And in him was light, and the light was the light of men. And the light shineth into the darkness, but the darkness comprehended it not." Now that's a way of saying Jesus the Son, who is called the Word, he is the Word of God. was in the beginning. In other words, he existed already in eternity. And this is kind of review. With God, and all things were created by him. And without him, there was not made anything that was made. So everything that we see, whether it be material or immaterial, was created by Jesus the Christ, who is the Son of God. Now, that's the eternal state of Jesus in his original form. We can say he never changed form. He's always been eternal, and he always will be. So what happened when God sent his Son into the world, into the flesh, was the manifestation of God in the image of man. And we're going to talk about that. So we saw how God made man in his image when he created Adam. And of course, we discovered that sin entered into the world through the devil's deception of Eve, and actually because of the willful sin of Adam, that sin entered into the world. And ever since then, that's the problem with humanity. We could just sum that up and say that the reason all of us are corrupted and find it impossible to do right, that we have a hankering in our soul to disobey God and be on our own and do our own thing and do stuff that God has commanded should not be done, is because of the sin of Adam. And that just daisy chains right on up to whoever your dad is. And whoever my dad was, all of us were born in sin and shaped in iniquity. So we have a sin issue. Everyone has a sin problem. And that means everybody, from the highest person you can think of to the very smallest child or baby who has been born. And so basically, even we come into the world with a serious sin problem, every one of us. And God is the only one who made a way for sinners, which is every human being on the planet. And that's why that word whosoever is important. When the Bible uses the word whosoever, it's talking about all the people. Every nation, kindred, tribe, and tongue, and people. It even includes the Jews, who were God's chosen people. And that was the only division that God had made in between people, was Jew and Gentile. And so it includes Jews and Gentiles. And the fact is, all people, no matter who they are, have been born in sin and shaped in iniquity. And so this is the problem. Sin is a problem. It's a universal whosoever problem. In other words, whosoever you know, doesn't make any difference who they are, doesn't make any difference what they say, doesn't make any difference what they do. Regardless of any of these things, there is a sin problem. And the problem is that we're all born that way. We come here with the flaw of sin that's already in our members. And so what we have to do, God provided one solution for whosoever. Now that means that word, and that's why I'm going to highlight this today. Whosoever means all the people of the world need to be saved. There isn't anyone anywhere who does not need to be saved. And so God has applied a universal application when the Son of God became flesh and dwelt among us that will be able to be applied to you, no matter who you are. You fit in that group of whosoever, just like I do and everyone else. There is no one who does not need to be saved. Everyone needs to be saved. We have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And so Christmas is about a mission that Almighty God, the Creator of all things, did when he sent his own Son, who was equal with him in eternity, to come into the world in the flesh. And now at this time, we see God himself taking on the image of man. What we saw in the creation was man being given the image of God and the likeness of God. And we talked about that last week in pretty much detail, in some detail. Never can exhaust any of these subjects. But let's say we gave a good covering of how that worked and the reason why you and I are born in sin. And so now God had already in eternity made a rescue method to get me and you out of sin if we believe him. The caveat is, do you believe the gospel? Do you trust and believe what God has done for all mankind? My privilege is to preach the gospel, the good news, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Here's the word again, that whosoever, that means all people anywhere, it doesn't leave anyone out, It's not an issue for Jews versus Gentiles. It's not an issue for black versus white. It's not an issue for Chicanos versus Chinese versus any nationality. It includes all the people on the earth, whosoever believes in Him. No matter who you are, if you trust and believe that God sent His Son, Jesus Christ, who is the manifestation of God in the image of man, then you believe that God allowed Him to be crucified on the cross, that He might be buried in the grave, and where He died and was buried in the grave and got out of the grave after 3 days and nights, according to the scriptures, according to the law and the prophets. We see that God was born, the Son of God, will say that you could say God was born because that He is Jesus, the Son of God, which is predicted perfectly and accurately in the Word of God, all the way from the Garden of Eden clear on up until 95 A.D. There was prophecy. Actually, 95 would be the end of the New Testament. But let's say from Moses to Malachi before Jesus came. Everything that Moses spoke of, which takes us back to the creation of all things and the whole situation where we learn that man was born, made in the image of God, and that basically now we see God had already planned, and we mentioned this one last week. I'm just giving a little review to help get you up to speed in case you didn't hear the previous message, that Paul said when the fullness of time was come, Galatians chapter 4, verse 4, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, born under the law to deliver us from the curse of the law. And so the law basically has been a curse to everyone. And the reason that is that we're all born in sin and shaped in iniquity. Everyone is born in sin and shaped in iniquity. There is none righteous, the Bible says. No, not one. There's none that doeth good. There's none that seeketh after God. They're all gone out of the way. Isaiah 53:6 says, all we like sheep have gone astray. Everyone has turned aside to his own way. But the Lord had laid upon Him, speaking of Jesus, the Messiah, the iniquity of us all. And so that's another of us all. That's a whosoever word in the Old Testament. God, the word whosoever, I'm highlighting it today because God put it heavy on my spirit that this is part of the problem that goes on not only in America, but it's a big problem in America right now because we have a divided country because we've taken our focus and our emphasis off of God's word, and we have rejected, many of us, now this is not universally true, many of us have rejected the idea of whosoever. And we divide it up into different kinds of categories that separate people. And the gospel is, God has already done this. You know what? I want to say something. God has done this, and there are two groups, certainly. But it's not black people and white people. It's not Chicanos and Africans or Chinese and Indians. None of that. That's not the groups. All of those groups come under that whosoever. And so God has made one plan for whosoever. And He has divided the world into two groups. Believers in the gospel and those who don't. So you're in one of those two categories. If you believe the gospel, that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, who is Jesus the Christ. He centered the world around Jesus the Christ, put Him in the middle of our time system so that everybody, and that's whosoever around the world, black, white, green, whatever kind of color you are, no matter what nationality you are, Jew or Gentile, the Jews don't get a pass. They don't get in without Jesus. That's what God said. And that's very evident because it was the Jews to whom He came who crucified Him. That God accurately predicted that the covenant people who He called and caused Him to be were the ones who crucified Him. He had already said that it would happen. He wrote it down in plain detail all the way through the scripture what would happen when God, the manifestation of God, in the image of men took place. God knew that the same problem that we're having right now, experiencing it in a heavy and a very ugly way in our country, the United States of America, the reason we have such a big divide is we've gotten our mind off the truth. And a lot of the church, people who say they're the church, are part of the problem. And I got to call you out today. Because if you think that we have a lot of people split up talking about politics and all that. And I want to make it very clear today, politics will not save anyone. Politics has never saved anyone. Politics is corrupted with sin through and through, like all the men and women who produce the work of politics. Every particular part of it is tainted with sin, and politics is not the solution to the problem that this world has. God has given the solution, and it is through His Son, Jesus the Christ. He is the Son of the living God. He is equal in His distribution of the gospel to all people. The gospel is for every man, woman, boy, and girl, no matter whether they be Jew or Gentile, black or white. There will be no Jews saved without Jesus. There will be no Gentiles of any color who are saved without Jesus. The gospel is neutral, and God has already put the dividing line. The dividing line is, do you believe Him or do you not? The dividing line has nothing to do with, are you Democrat or Republican? Absolutely nothing. I want that to be understood today. Democrats and Republicans all need to repent. Whig party, Green party, whatever party you are, Communist party, repent and believe the gospel of Jesus Christ. God has made a way, and He has divided the world into two. And you're in one group or the other, and it has nothing to do with politics. Not at all. Not a single thing to do with politics. And so don't let this corrupted political system that we have, and this is in every country, not just in America, it's corrupted everywhere, all around the planet. And if you can hear me in Russia today, you need Jesus the Christ. If you can hear me in Siberia or Japan or wherever you happen to be, you need Jesus the Christ. If you have not trusted in God and believed in His Son, Jesus the Christ, who is the manifestation of God in the image of man, who came into the world, this time system of the world is divided around Christ Jesus and no one else right now up to this very second. The time on the clock is ticking based on the birth of Jesus the Messiah. And keep this in mind, He came for whosoever. That's how I have to get back to that word, whosoever. It includes all men, all women, all boys and girls. Whosoever you are. The Bible says, whosoever believes in the name of the Son of God shall not be put to shame. And the antithesis of that is whoever rejects the Son of God will come under the condemnation and the judgment of Almighty God, and that without any prejudice. Without. So prejudice is an evil sin, and I haven't heard a lot of preaching about that. I hear a lot of preaching from churches who talk about Democrats and Republicans. That won't get you saved. Jesus Christ Himself is the only Savior of this world, and not only Democrats and Republicans. I'm not trying to throw them under the bus, but the fact is, no matter what faction you come from, God has made a division to cut the world in two. Either you believe Christ and you're saved, or you don't. If you do, then you are responsible to love whosoever believes in Him, becomes one family. There's one Lord, Ephesians 4, chapter 4, verse 5 says, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, who is a Father of all and above all, and He's in all of you who believe. And so the fact is, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Understand that. That's why even denominations, I have to throw them under the bus too, because God does not ordain denominations. Denominations are a work of fallen men who divide because of issues that are of little importance to Almighty God. God has made one statement to all men, women, boys, and girls when he became manifest in the flesh and died on a tree, because that shows you what human governments and politics will do. You can give them favor. You can do all kinds of things for them. And God knows all the governments of the world have had favor under God's grace and under His mercy. Otherwise, we wouldn't be here. God should have wiped us all out if He wanted to just give judgment to everybody. Because nobody has honored Him in the way they should. Not a soul. Not now and not ever. And the truth is, the law has never saved anyone. You know why? Because no one has ever kept it except Jesus. He's the only one. So the manifestation of God in the image of man was the most important event, and we call that event Christmas. Now, we have corrupted and contaminated even what the meaning of Christmas is, and we turn it into all kinds of hogwash and not the celebration of the Most High God being manifest in the flesh. He did this in order to be able to pay the bill for my sin and for yours. Whosoever believes in Him will not perish, the Bible says. God promises that if you want a loophole and a way out of your sin, and God knows we need it, all of us, if you can hear my voice, you need a loophole, you need a way out, because there's nothing you can do to earn the grace and the favor of God. Nothing, absolutely nothing that any of us can do. And that's a whosoever statement. There isn't anyone, anywhere, who can do anything to make themselves right with God except believe on Him whom God has sent. So the manifestation of God in the image of man is a very, very critical and important subject, and it is the subject of Christmas, what Christmas actually means. So the true church, in accordance with the direct teaching from the Holy Bible, has been called to proclaim the best news ever, the manifestation of God in the image of man, that is the birth of the only Savior of all who believe in Him. And I say that because if you don't believe in Him, you will not be saved, no matter who you are. Doesn't make any difference what good work you do, what kind of a system you have, what new rituals and all that. That won't ever save you. One way you can be saved, God has manifested Himself in the flesh, and He came into the world. His name was Jesus. He was crucified on the Roman cross, and He died there and shed His blood for your sin and mine. Whoever believes in Him, whosoever, I want to highlight that word again. I'm not preaching to black churches, white people, Democrats, Republicans, necessarily individually, but the fact is I'm preaching to all of everyone, everywhere. All of you need to be saved. If you're saved, then you will not hate your brother. The Bible says you cannot love God whom you have not seen. If you do not love your brother who you have seen. Now God says that whosoever are all brothers. They're all in the same group. They're all in the same family. Either you're in His family or you're in the family of the devil. Because the devil is the one who has control of all the people of the world who are not in Christ. And so the fact is, you're in one group or the other, and God has put the divine line to know that maybe it's not to you. It's not the Democrats and the Republicans. It's the saved and the lost. Either you're saved or you're lost. If you're saved, you trust God and you believe in Jesus Christ. If you're lost, you can go ahead and keep on dabbling in all that foolishness, and you'll be disappointed on Judgment Day. And that's the whole truth. And so the manifestation of God in the image of man is a very critical and important subject. It's something that needs to be talked about. We got all these different factions and divisions and all of that stuff going on today. And I want to let you know all of it is hogwash. And I need to tell you a secret about hogwash. Hogwash is something that not even hogs like it. I want to let you know hogs don't want to be washed. They want to stay dirty. They want to stay filthy. They do not want to be washed. Try to wash a hog and see what kind of way you come up there. They do not like hog wash. So it's something that you should think about. So what I want to talk with you about today, let me get back to my subject here. Let's take a look in the Old Covenant in Jeremiah chapter number 31. I'm just going to select out a couple of verses, and I've included a few at the end of the handout. If you don't have it, get it at teachingbible.org. It'll be on our website for you to get our notes. Jeremiah 31, 22 from the Old Testament. We talked about a couple last week. We mentioned Isaiah 7, 14. It says, "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel." Matthew 1, 23 in the New Testament gives the interpretation of the word Emmanuel as God with us. And so that's what we have when Jesus Christ was born, is God with us. And so the thing I want you to see here, today in Jeremiah, we also talked about, let me add this one too, Isaiah 9 and 6, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace." And so these are all verses that talk about the manifestation of God in the image of man. And Paul, as we mentioned, Galatians 4 and 4, if you've taken notes, he said, "When the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, born under the law, to deliver us from the curse of the law." He delivers us from the curse of the law, because the law can only be a curse to evil sinners like us. And the one loophole to get out of it is trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and believe that God is raising from the dead. So God has divided whosoever into two groups. That's the saved and the lost. And you're in one of those two groups. And nothing else matters. Really does not matter. We have people talking about what matters and all that in the world today. None of it matters. God doesn't care what matters to us. What matters to God is, do you trust Christ or do you not? If you do, you will be saved. God the Holy Spirit will take up residence in you, And he will teach you and lead you and guide you to all truth, not some of the truth, not segregated truth, not any of that, but the truth, which is God's Word from Genesis to Revelation. He will school you in His Word and teach you how to love people who you normally otherwise would not. And so that's going to take some Holy Ghost intervention. And you can't have it if you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior. Or if you butcher God's Word into sectarian hogwash and foolishness, you will not be saved. You need to understand that. For God said that my people who are called by my name should humble themselves and pray, seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways. And then will I hear from heaven and forgive their sin and heal their land. So this is what we need, a good dose of 2 Chronicles 7:14. But we better really mean it and better know that we trust only in Christ and that we hold no hatred for anyone. No matter what it is. Now, we got a lot of people hating on folks because they're not Democrat or not Republican, and we have the church saying that. That's foolish. The church is not involved. The real church is not involved in that at all. We know the souls of every man, woman, boy, and girl need to be saved, and God has sent His Son Jesus. He does the dividing. There's two groups, the saved and the lost, and you're in one of the two. So it's my duty and my calling, which was the calling of the early church. Back then, it was Pharisees and Sadducees, or Jews and Gentiles. Today, it can be all these other things that we're talking about. I want to let you know, all of that foolishness, those were the people who were in power, and they were the ones who crucified God when He was manifested in the flesh as a man. So let you see, look at that, meditate on that a little bit and see if that will help you get out of the trap that you might be in, because politics won't save you. God has to save you. He has to purify your heart and get you where you don't hate anyone. The fact is, God is not teaching anyone to hate anyone. See? Understand that. And salvation will give you that revelation. We won't be all upset and divided into groups and all that. There's one church, and either you're in the church or you're not. Either you're saved or you're lost. The saved believe every word that proceeded from the mouth of God. And God the Holy Spirit has given to you to interpret that word. Let me get back where I was here. Jeremiah 31:22, and I'm going to read you the NASB. Another verse verifying the manifestation of God in the image of man. How long will you go here and there, O faithless daughter? For the Lord has created a new thing in the earth. A woman will encompass a man. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, once again they will speak this word in the land of Judah and in its cities. When I restore their fortunes, the Lord bless you, O abode of righteousness, O holy hill. Judah and all its cities will dwell together in it, the farmer and they who go about with flocks. So God says, I'm going to restore Israel. And it comes in, and the term here, many of the rabbis and rabbinical scholars of Judaism, which was the original covenant people of God that God used to deliver from the seed of Abraham clear on through to the birth of Christ, His Son, Jesus, who is the only Savior of the world. But anyway, he's saying Israel had gone far afield. When Jeremiah writes this text, Israel is on the brink of going into captivity into Babylon. And we're going to talk about that just a hair more later. And keep this in mind, the northern kingdom, Israel couldn't even get along with herself. They were just like us over here in America at one time. The fact is, all 10 of the tribes separated and went to the north, and the northern kingdom set up their own worship center in Samaria, and Judah and Benjamin stayed in the southern kingdom. The northern kingdom was taken into captivity in 722 because they divided into two big groups, kind of like what we're doing over here. We don't have enough understanding of God's truth to see that this is what happens all the time. There's always a division and a separation of people and him and hawing about who's right and who's wrong and who shot Sam and whatever else you want to put on the list, which is totally trivial because God made all the people in His own image. He loves all the people and He treats everybody equally. The Bible says He is no respecter of persons. That means no person has an advantage in His sight more than any other. That God sees each person the same way. He doesn't see big eyes and little U's. Everybody from high intelligence and low intelligence. None of that. Black or white or Republican or Democrat or any of that. All of that is a bunch of man-made stuff that divides and separates people. And you know what? And so what I want you to see is even Israel, when they were being blessed by God, hand over fist. He created them, caused them to come into existence because he promised Abraham that I will multiply your seed as the sand of the seashore and the stars of heaven innumerable. And he said that to a man who had no seed, that was not, had no child. He was a childless man at 75. And God said that I will multiply your seed as the sand of the seashore and the stars of heaven. And so God was the one who made a separation and made the covenant people. Then they got to the place after three generations, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the 12 tribes of Jacob. We know about that, and I'm condensing a whole lot of Bible into a few statements. And we can talk about it another time, or look it up on our website if you like. These people all went into tribal existence, which is what God had set up for them. He made one of the tribes of the Levites, the priests, which would be the mediators between the rest of the 11 tribes and God. And they were there to service in a two-way communication. The priest was to be dedicated to service to God in the temple, and also service to the people. And they were a mediator of two-way communication. The people communicated to God through the priests, and God mediated to the people through the priests, back to the people, and also the prophets and the Levites and all the other people through whom God's word came. And basically what I'm trying to get you to see is that whole system, even though it was crafted by God, designed by God, God already knew that system would go sour. Why? Because human beings have a tendency to segregate. That's just a sin in our nature that we segregate. And so the segregation sin that separated the covenant people divided them into two groups, the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. The northern kingdom, after the reign of Solomon, this happened, and you can read about that in the Chronicles and several other places in the Old Testament. The kingdom was divided. There was no unity in the kingdom. Kind of sounds like over here where we live a little bit to me. These are supposed to be the United States, but we're not united. We're divided. We are not united. We are divided. We are not the United States. We are the divided states. Kind of like Israel, when they divided, 10 tribes went to the north and set up their own way to worship God, even though God has specifically given them instructions how he is to be worshipped, how you are to approach him. And he had done that, and they all knew about it. But they decided, oh, we're going to do it our way. And our way gets us in trouble. That's the whole problem in our country right now. Let's say that's the majority of the impetus of the drive of all the segregation, all the denominations, all the different kinds of divisions that separate people, rather than the gospel, which God has given it, unites people in love one to another. If you don't love your brother who you can see, I'm going to say that again, you cannot love God who you cannot see. The truth, and that's the truth you need to meditate on. If you hate anybody, go before God and repent. Because that is wrong, and it doesn't make any difference who you are, how high you are, how rich you are, how poor you are. God is a whosoever God, and he's for everyone who believes him and trusts in the gospel of his son, Jesus the Christ. He has made Christ the dividing line between all people. And if either you're in Christ and you trust him and believe his word, or you're not in Christ, or you are polluting and contaminating Christ and the reason why he came and propagating a false religion. That's the only thing you can be doing. Either you trust Christ, you believe that God raised him from the dead and God has made him the focal point of all of human division. In other words, the only division is, do you believe or don't you? Do you trust Christ and believe his word or not? That's the simple division. If you believe in Christ and believe that God raised him from the dead, this is why you ought to believe in Christ. Because God raised him from the dead. Who else do you know got out the grave? I don't know of anyone else. And I want you to know there would be no church today if Jesus was not risen. There's nothing to preach. We can just shut up, shut the churches, and just go on, and we'll all just go merrily to hell. But the fact is, Jesus got out the grave. He rose with all power in his hands, and he's the only one who has authority to make you right in the presence of Almighty God, because he is the only one who kept God's word from eternity, even until he came into the world and was manifested in the flesh of God in the image of man, and was mauled, found guilty, crucified, buried, and risen. And God had written down every detail of it in his word. And this is what happens when man allows himself to take charge of the thing at this level. We cannot do it. We have not done it. And God is the only one that can make you right. He made a way. Let's get back to the Israel story. Israel divided because the people went on their own way and they did not follow God's word. They separated after Solomon's reign. They were greatly wealthy during the time of Solomon. And through the reign of David, which was called the United Kingdom, from the kingdom of David through the kingdom of Solomon. And after that, when they became wealthy, they got fat and sassy. And suddenly now, we're going to split all up and do it our way. Remind you of anybody? Does me. Reminds me of somebody. How about these United States? We better wake up, and you know what? God has given us so much technology, so many more blessings than He's ever given any other country in the history of time. And we have the ability now to export the gospel to the ends of the earth as it was commanded to the 12 that Jesus Himself had chosen. And we have the greatest ability to do that of any nation that's ever existed. But what do? We divide up and break up like Israel with the northern and the southern kingdom. Very, very bad mistake. So I want to wake some people up today and let you know all prejudice is sin. And you do need to trust God and believe the gospel. Get into the word and find out how you can learn how to love people who you hate right now. Find out how you can love people and help people who God would have you to help, and help them understand the gospel, which is the only thing that will get them saved and out of the grave and out of the penalty of sin and death. Nothing else will do that. Legislation, they write legislation stacked up to the ceiling, up to the top of the world. And it doesn't do anything. It just keeps people divided. You know, and God actually was the one who came up with law in Genesis 9:6, and He did it to slow down the progress of sin, because sin was progressing and running rampant in the world. So government is really just to put sin in check. But when the government becomes sin, then it's really not putting sin in check anymore. And the fact is, you need Jesus. He's the only one who can save you. See yourself on a Titanic going down. So that's how we are, and the only one can get you off as a lifeboat is Jesus the Christ, the Son of the living God, and God has given Him for all people, whosoever. I've got to say the word again. So Israel divided. Northern kingdom separated, set up their own way to worship, twisted God's word, and they were in the northern kingdom in Samaria, and until they were taken into captivity by foreign powers who did not know God. They came in and destroyed them, tore down the temple, killed a lot of people, raped the women, ravaged the children and the women, and stole whatever they wanted. And it was a hostile takeover. And many of them fled back to the southern kingdom. That happened in 722 B.C. when Assyria invaded the northern kingdom. So now all these refugees from the northern kingdom run back and start to worship where they were before in the southern kingdom, which is what God had told them to do. And then that contamination continued. And then in 586 B.C., the time that Jeremiah writes that I was mentioning at first, the southern kingdom started to go sour as well and had to be deported into Babylon, which is where Abraham came from. The irony of that is that he was called from Ur of the Chaldees, which is current-day Babylon, that area, we would say that. And so the irony is that the people who got separated all went sour eventually in 586 B.C. by 586 B.C. Of course, the northern kingdom is 722 B.C. And then in 586 B.C., even the northern kingdom in 722, southern kingdom in 586. And they were deported back to the place of their nativity, if you will, because they didn't trust God, didn't believe His word. Now, under the dominions of all the kingdoms that followed, and we mentioned this in the midweek service, there were Babylonians, there were the Medes and the Persians, there was the Greco-Macedonian period under Alexander the Great, and finally the Roman Empire. And all some of these people tolerated Israel and allowed them to go back into the land that God had given them. And they set up there. God already predicted all of this with stark clarity. It's so clear, it's unbelievable. But it won't be clear to you unless you're saved. You need to trust the Lord Jesus Christ, believe God raised Him from the dead. He will give you the Holy Spirit. You can open His word and you will understand what the Spirit is saying to the churches. So all this happened. Israel was back in their land. But you know what? Once they were deported from the southern kingdom, put this note in your mind. They were never a sovereign nation. Again, even though they existed as a nation, they were under the heel of Rome. They were under the heel of Babylon first, then the Medes and the Persians, then the Greco-Macedonians under Alexander the Great, finally the Romans. And then they were under Rome at the time that Jesus was born. And they even had the nerve to come to Jesus at one time. And this is kind of not even in my subject. They told him, is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar? Remember that? Because they were under the government and the dominion of Caesar, of Rome. They weren't free and sovereign like they had been before. And so they sacrificed their own freedom by not doing what God said. And so this is something that we need to learn a lesson from. So here in Jeremiah, when it says, how long will you go here and there, O faithless daughter? Think about that for a minute in the context of what I just told you about how Israel was tossed to and fro and carried all over the place by all these Gentiles, scattered everywhere because they were disobedient to God. For the Lord hath created a new thing in the earth. A woman will encompass a man. That means that there will be still a virgin birth. God is speaking to that whole situation of the manifestation of God in the image of man, which will eventually come to pass. Jeremiah may not have had the fullness of understanding of that at his time, but it still came true. They haven't even yet been taken into Babylon, but they don't believe God's prophets who are speaking to them, telling them to repent. You know what? I think God would have stopped it and not did it at all had they have repented. And I'm giving a plea today to our country. See where we are. Why don't we stop before ultimate and total destruction comes upon us because of our disobedience and our butchery of God's gospel, the fact that he has sent his son and he's the only dividing point between all people everywhere, men, women, boys, and girls, Jew or Gentile, of every ethnicity. In fact, without prejudice, we should understand that. If we don't, we're on the same path Israel was on. We're going to get the same kind of a wake-up call and a terrible situation. But the fact is, he goes on to say, Jeremiah 31:23, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, once again they will speak this word in the land of Judah and in its cities when I restore their fortunes. See, God says, I'm going to keep blessing you. The Lord bless you, O abode of righteousness, O holy hill. So he says, I'm going to let you go back and restore your fortunes, even though you've been scattered. You've been taken over by external Gentile powers who have dominated you and scattered you because of your disobedience. You know what? The whole Old Testament, and I'm just going to say this, this is not in my notes, but the fact is, even through the period of the judges, when there was no king in Israel and every man did that which was right in his own eyes, you can see it over and over. The disobedience and the rebellion of the people of God kept them in a constant cycle of trouble until they were actually divided by the time we get to the point when after the reign of Solomon, when the divided kingdom, the divided kingdom ended. Let's call it the United Kingdom, is what I'm trying to say, my words are getting tripped up. The United Kingdom ended after the reign of David and Solomon, and it was the divided kingdom from that point on until all these nations dominated them, and then they were eventually back in one place. You know what they started to do as soon as they got back in there? They started dividing up into religious factions. And we see that in the New Testament time under the dominion of Rome. There were Sadducees and Pharisees and Essenes and Zealots and different factions like what the church is doing now. We have Baptists and Presbyterians and Catholics and so on and so forth. And so all of that is always the product of a sin overtaking people rather than the truth of God and the gospel of the Son. And it's even more clear to me and you now, so I think you and I have more accountability even than Israel did because they didn't have the full understanding. So my time is really slipping away. I've got to move a little more quickly here. So the prophecies of the coming incarnation of God the Son are found throughout many passages in the Old Testament which forecasted the reality of Christmas, which is what we're talking about, which is the manifestation of God in the image of man, which is without question a powerful reality to realize, and also God's means to provide everyone who believes in Jesus, his Son, with perfect righteousness the greatest gift ever. So God has given that to everybody, whoever you are. And we have to have that for whosoever, because that's who God provides it for. And we should treat whosoever the same way we treat ourselves. Jesus said, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. The golden rule, we call it. Now, you know what? I know that's not happening by and large. Check yourself and find out if it's happening for you. And I'm going to check myself and find out if it's happening for me. Because if you have prejudice or any kind of hatred in your heart, if it's political, whether it's black or white, if it's ethnic or whatever it is, it's a sin of which we all need to repent. And so that's the real hard truth. And we should be on the same mission God is on, is getting the message of the gospel to every nation, kindred, tribe, and tongue, and people. That is the business of His church. Anybody doing some other kind of business, you know what it is? It's monkey business, let me let you know. It is not the truth, it is not the facts, and it will not persevere. And we need to get back on the right track. Now in the New Testament, quickly, Philippians chapter 2, Paul talks about the manifestation of God in the image of man. He says here, Philippians 2 and 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. There it is, the manifestation of God in the image of man. It says, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, of things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Now that's the proclamation of the Apostle Paul, who himself was twisted and thought that the Gentiles had overcome and taken and corrupted the church with all this mess of the gospel. That's what he used to think before he got saved. But he understood, just like I hope we all understand today, that we need to be saved and we need to be impartial. We need to be God-like in the fact that we love everybody, and our mission is to the whole world, not to black people, not to white people, not to Republicans, not to Democrats, not to the Green Party, not to the Whig Party, not to the Communists, not to the Socialists, but to every man, woman, boy, and girl who is born. God has one way for you to be right. And you are not right if you do not trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and believe that God has raised him from the dead. Your time system, whoever you are, and whatever you believe, even if you don't believe me at all, and I don't want you to believe me, this is the proclamation of Almighty God. Believe him. He has divided this world on Christ. And it's 2020 years since that first Christmas when the manifestation of God in the image of man took place. And we're all accountable to God to trust and believe his good news. And God cannot lie. He told the truth, and I speak to you the truth today. God loves you. He will cleanse you from all your sin by grace. In other words, we don't deserve it. We cannot earn it. And it's through faith. Faith means believing, trusting in what God has provided. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. And by it, people are justified. We are justified by faith, not by works of righteousness that we have done, but by his great mercy that he poured out upon us richly in Christ Jesus by the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit. So Jeremiah, who prophesied while the southern kingdom was heading into captivity by the Babylonians, was given the revelation that a woman would compass a man, indicating the Messiah would be born of a woman, was one of the many passages depicting the manifestation of God in the image of man, which he stated just before the revelation of the new covenant. Check that out. The new covenant is found in Jeremiah 31, and I have included it in our notes, so you can read that later. And this new covenant God had promised to make with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. Notice that, the divided kingdom, Israel and Judah. The northern kingdom was called Israel. The southern kingdom was called Judah. To grant them the unlimited grace which would overflow out to all the world of whosoever, there's my word again, would believe the gospel as he promised Abraham, the father of the Jews. So God's message started to a Gentile, Abraham, who was a Chaldean, Babylonian Gentile. And he was doing this to produce a seed whose name is Jesus, that was born as the manifestation of God in the image of man 2,020 years ago, who was crucified on the cross according to the law and the prophets, to shed his righteous blood, the only human being that has ever had perfectly righteous, spotless blood that God made possible through his creation of woman that we talked about in the last lesson. Don't have time to review it today. Go back and hear that one. And so he made a way for Jesus to be born of a virgin without sin in order that he would be sacrificed, because he knew the evil, tainted, divided, unwhosoever parts of the people whom he had called, and he knew exactly what they would do. He predicted it perfectly and accurately with stark detail in the Word of God, and it came down in history like that. Now God has centered history around that Christ, that Messiah, that Son of God, by whom he has made the standard by which any men, women, boys, or girls can be saved. And he is the only one through whom anyone can be saved. And so it's very important that we understand that God loves us. He has made one way out, and that way out is through Christ. Whosoever believes in him, and there's that word, whosoever, doesn't make any difference where you stand as far as any of these worldly things that will profit you nothing. Jesus said this in Matthew 16:26. What would it profit a man if he gained the whole world and lost his soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? You cannot serve two masters. You will either love the one or hate the other, despise the one or cleave to the other. You cannot serve God and mammon, which is money. Money cannot be your God. Jesus the Christ is the only way of salvation. Whoever trusts in him will not perish. Paul teaches, the Apostle Paul teaches all believers to cultivate a mindset. That's what he told to the Philippians as a result of the manifestation of God in the image of man. Just like that of Jesus, his only begotten Son, who selflessly worshiped God his Father with his whole life. Understand that. That's what Jesus did, which he also freely gave that perfect life to provide all who believe in him with eternal life. So God did that, and he gave the Son, and Jesus came. He didn't say, let's divide up and split up, and you group here, group there. He called 12, and he sanctified them and gave them this message, the gospel, to preach to everybody, whosoever believes in him, and we pray that that will be you. Well, my time is well spent, and I hope you did get a good word from the message, and I would like to lead you in prayer if you would desire to be saved. Perhaps you never understood the gospel. God loves you, and he's made a way for you, so I want to invite you to pray with me if you desire to be saved. Amen. And if you are saved, thank God. Worship him and give him praise. Lord God, in the name of Jesus, we praise you right now, Father. Somebody heard the word today, Lord God. Whoever they are, we pray for them and with them right now. Lord God, it doesn't make any difference what nationality, what age, what Democratic, Republican, whatever they are, Lord, it doesn't make a difference, because we know that you have one standard, and you have given Jesus, the Christ, your Son, in order to be crucified on the cross, and he is the only mediator between God and men. So, Father, today we ask you to save that person who is in repentance right now, that believes the good news and understands it today. Lord, help us all to heal and get rid of our hatreds and animosities and divisions and sectarianism and all the things that are called sin in your word. And help us to be sacrificial like your Son, Jesus the Christ, who even though he was in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but humbled himself and took upon him the form of a servant, was found in fashion as of a man, and humbled himself to the point of death, even the death of the cross, in order that wretches like us can be saved. And Father, you raised him out the grave so that we know he is the only one
There is no one else who has ever gotten up out of the grave and declared, all power is given to me in heaven and earth. So, Father, save everybody today who's praying with me, who desires to be saved. Set the church back in order, Lord God. Set the country back in order. And, Father, guide our steps as we go through these last and evil days. And we give you all the honor, the praise, and the glory. And, Father, as I pray, I want to invite everyone else to thank God for Hope, our First Lady here at St. Timothy, my wife, love of my life. Oh, God, help her and bless her. And thank you for her, Lord, in the name of Jesus. So we hope that you have received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And it is my good pleasure to thank you and ask you to tune in again on Wednesday. You can catch us online at anchor.fm or go to our website, teachingbible.org, to get other parts of this message that you may not have heard. And thank God for you. We love you, and we know that God loves you too. We hope you love us back. Amen.